McKay. Mary started in New York radio on WMCA in the early 50s. He was part of the Palisades Park scene, but then he was just known as Murray Kaufman. He moved to WINS in 1958, and the swingin' soiree came to prime time in 1959. But it was really in the 60s when Murray the K made his mark in radio.
To capture the audiences tuned in to AM radio in the 60s, wow, you had to have your own language, your own cheers, put on live shows, let the audience in on your choice of music, find new angles in which you could talk about love, be a pal of all the groups, and have one very large ego. If you put it all together, it sounded like this. All right, out there, I want to know that you're with me. So when I say to you... play the hits for you. Let me tell you who I am.
This is Murray the K on the swinging soiree with a blast from the past. A big goldie for you.
Right, we got the gold for you, baby. And of course, I even speak to Ringo. Ringo loves the gold. I was even asking him about a fella by the name of Frankie Lyman. I said to Ringo...
Frankie Lyman, you did.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah, the, yeah.
He was about the start of that whole jazz.
Yeah, with the bass. Doom, doom, doom. Yeah. You know, all that.
Love our great new show. Don't forget to be at the Brooklyn Fox when I say to you...
Murray the K's most spectacular holiday show, starring the fabulous Righteous Brothers. From that ferry across the Mersey, it's gonna be all right. Jerry and the Pacemakers, that Ooh Baby Fantastic Miracles, the Del Satins, and... Little Anthony and the Imperials, along with... Temptations and... Swinging Marvin Gaye. The Marvelettes will be there. Cannibal and the Headhunters and Martha and the Vandellas.
All right, I want you all to be there at the great big show. And don't forget right now, we're going to play our pick hit of the week, or the winner of our record review board contest. You know, we play a brand new record for you every day. Among the five that we play, you pick the winner of the day. The winner of each day meets on Saturday when we pick the record review board champ of the week. And this week... you selected the winner, the record, The Lone Twister, by you know who, baby. Right on, right on.
Everybody's dancing. Cheek to cheek romance. Ah, but that ain't in my groove. 'Cause I dig music that makes me wanna move. Let your arms wail.
Wail.
Move your torso. Open it, also. Come on and dance with the Lone Twister. Round and around and around.
All right, round and around. We got a great big hit. Right now, it's time for us to get into what you know is your basic Missouri bit. Hey, you got to learn how to speak Missouri. You got to use the E-U-S after the first group of consonants of a word or before any vowels. It's easy. If you can speak it, just like Paul McCartney, you're what's he is happening, be his Abe. Tell him, Paul.
He is happening, be his Abe.
Paul, all those girls are, you know, are sort of ape over you. And they all listen, Murray. I'm ape over them. I'm ape over them, Murray.
You dig these New York girls?
Oh, crazy for them.
Kids from Bria Zucklin. And
oh, Bria Zucklin and Bria Zonks and all that.
Manhattan, Queensland, Westchester, all over, baby. Love them. Love them.
Yeah, right, all right. And you're going to love it, too, because you know, baby, if you ain't submarine race watching, you ain't what's happening. Oh, don't you know what it is about going out and watching the submarines race? Oh, girls, tell them.
So when you want to get a date, but you got no money, show your submarine card and you'll get a honey. Don't be a tease. Just say please and show your card and squeeze with ease.
Right, squeeze with ease. Now, I know a lot of you fellas out there don't know how to get along with girls, that you're a little shy. But my suggestion is you got to find the right words to say at the right time. Tonight, while you're submarine race watching, take the advice of the K, put your arm around your favorite girl. Take her hand into yours, look her straight in the eye, and just say...
Na, 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 come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
AM radio in the 60s.
We spoke to Murray's son, Peter Altshuler, who remembers his father.
The
most part, I think of him in professional terms. And I don't mean that to denigrate him as a parent, but his real accomplishments were professional accomplishments. And his ability to take performers and mold them and get them on their way gave him, in a sense, an extended family way beyond his own three children. So that when he could take somebody like Tony Orlando and teach him how to work an audience, or work with somebody like Little Anthony and the Imperials on stage at the Brooklyn Fox to get a little bit extra out of their performance, or put Dionne Warwick into the spot that Shirley had in the Shirelles when she suddenly had to go off in the middle of a Brooklyn Fox engagement and give birth to her child, he put Dionne in as the lead singer, and then when Dionne put out what became her first hit record, the B-side became the hit, but everybody called and said, Murray, you're supposed to play the A-side. The A-side's the one we picked is the hit. And he said no. He said the B-side was the hit, and the B-side was Walk On By. So he had an ear for that kind of talent. He had an ear for that kind of music. He knew how to pick them, and he was really superb at that.
The Brooklyn Fox Theater proudly presents the swinginest personality in the USA. The boss of the swinging soiree is Murray the King.
In 1959, he started his live stage shows at the Brooklyn Paramount, later moving to the Brooklyn Fox. Murray wowed them at his live stage shows with his dress in Cuban heels, V-panel sweaters, and that familiar straw hat. Ronnie Spector remembers.
I thought he was a great guy. I mean, he was different from most disc jockeys. When he did the Brooklyn Fox, it wasn't just act after act, you know. It was like, he really worked hard at getting the show to be more like a play. It was like the first DJ I'd ever, well, we were very young, so we were the Murray K's Dancing Girls before we, you know, had a hit record or anything, way before Be My Baby. He had great finales. He did bits with us, and he did bits with all the acts. If someone didn't have a good act, he had a microphone. These are just a little thing that people don't know about him. He had a microphone backstage, and we'd sing backup vocals. You know, for some group, Peggy Marsh. And she wasn't a good stage act. So what he'd do is get a microphone backstage, and we'd do the backgrounds and stuff backstage to make as if the act wasn't good. He'd always have something else to do to make it great. You know, he was just that one in a million disc jockey. I mean, they had, of course, Jocko and all those Paramount shows and stuff. But Murray made his shows, like, interesting. At Christmas time, he had Christmas trees, and all the acts would come out and start trimming the trees. I mean, when it was summer, he had us sand out there and beach balls and, you know, other acts like, say, The Temptation or The Supremes. We would bounce balls back and forth to each other. He just made it more of a Broadway play than with rock and roll then, and that you didn't do. And I remember when Tom Jones was on the show, and he had a song out called What's New Pussycat. And Murray the K actually got, well, two of the Ronettes to put on pussycat outfits, you know, cats, and stand beside him and say, "What? Oh, whoa, whoa." And it was just so, he had these ideas. You know, he wasn't just a disc jockey. No one knew those little things about Murray. I mean, how he got, I remember when he got the whole line of the stars, you just didn't do the show. He would rent a large rehearsal hall and listen to every act. And that's how he put his shows together. Not there at the Brooklyn Fox, like everybody else did, Apollo, I did, all these other places we worked at. You did the rehearsal there, and that was it. Murray would rent a hall, like a couple of days before the Brooklyn Fox, and have every act. I remember Dionne Warwick and The Temptations and all these great acts where we'd all meet. So we became friends, and, you know, that's what his plan was, to make us all become friends before we even got to the show. And it was so incredible. And he also, that's how he would figure out who should go on first, you know, because the one act that were weak went on first. And of course, no matter how weak the act was, if they were headlining, like say the Temptations or Jackie Wilson, which he was great, he would have, of course, those people at the end of the show. But it was the little acts that I remember, Little Eva, and she wasn't that good on stage because her, what was it, Locomotion. And we had microphones, the three Ronettes. Come on, baby, just backstage on a microphone. And I remember a guy named Frank Fontaine, I believe. He would hold the mic and we'd sing. We didn't go on stage, other than the Tom Jones bit. But all of his shows were done around a holiday. Either it was Easter, Christmas, summer, you know, when kids are all out of school, which he made those, the biggest shows, the summer shows. And he'd have sand, and he'd have us have these sand, you know, the pails, and we'd dish out the sand. He was just more than a disc jockey to me. And I remember going up to him and asking him, because we didn't have hit records, so we made like $200 per girl every 10 days. So I remember going to Murray like after 5 days of the show, because we'd run out of hairspray, and he would give us like a $20, $30 advance, you know, so we could have our hairspray and makeup. I mean, he was just one of a kind to me, and we worked with a lot of DJs, but Murray Decay was I remember before we even did his shows, we went down. I remember my cousin Nedja was going with Scott Ross, and he worked with Murray Decay, and he brought us down there one night. And you know, they had these girls going, ooh, ah, you know, little things that Murray would do, like ring the bell on his show, like not on his radio show. And we used to go down to this radio show and be those three little sexy girls with the, you know, sexy ooh and ah and all. And that was way before we were even, you know, heard of. And that's when he asked us to do his show. I mean, he just did, he had a lot, he loved what he did, see. That's what I loved about him. He loved it so much because he wanted to be a part of every act. And he, of course, he couldn't be, but he wanted to be a part of every act if he could get into it. So the Ronettes was the only group he could be in with because we were like pals at Murray. This is after we come home from school, we go down to his radio station and do the oohs and ahs. And then he asked us, he came to Miami and saw us there. He said, Guy, at the Peppermint Lounge, we opened it in Miami. He said, gosh, I wish I had girls like you in New York. I said, what are you kidding, Murray? We're from New York. We listen to you every night. And that started the Ronettes with Murray Decay. And we did all the bits. And I remember doing a bit with Murray where I'm backing off stage singing What I Say and Nedja and Estella going off the other way. And I accidentally bumped into Murray because I'm backing up off the stage going, whoa, whoa, and all this stuff, you know, What I Say. And I knocked into Murray and I knocked his hat off. And the audience roared. And Murray came back and said, Ronnie, do that every time. It's so great. And everything that, you know, like was spontaneous and that the audience loved. He loved that the audience loved him in the show. He would say, stick that in, keep that in. He was like a workaholic backstage. Every time he didn't think something was going right, then he'd have a rehearsal on the second floor at the Brooklyn Fox. Whatever he thought was going wrong, if the acts weren't on time, he was just on top of everything. And he made those shows great. I mean, you know, you can't just put a show on and just have act after act. Because even though the acts are great, you know, Murray knew it could be even greater and make the act look better. And I'll always love him. I'll always love him. Not only because he gave the Ronettes their first, you know, break in show business, but how he had that sense of making the audience happy and making, you know, the even the acts on the show happy. Because we love going out there and having the beach balls and bouncing them back from group to group. Because that's the only way the groups then mingled was on stage during his little bits. Like doing the Christmas tree, you know, putting the balls on and all the trimmings. That's how we got the Temptations and, oh, I mean, God, A Jay and the Americans. I mean, that's how we got together as friends. It started out by doing those bits on stage with Murray. And I'll never forget him. He was the greatest.